big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And in today's episode, I'm really excited to have my friend Adam McLaughlin back on. I've tracked him down. I've located him on his year-long journey around America, basically, in America and Canada. And I've tracked him down, and we spent some time talking about marketing and ministry. Now, again, some of you might be thinking, hey, listen, I'm a minister. I'm not a marketer. And some of you may be thinking, I'm a marketer, not a minister. And regardless of what your role is, you do an element of marketing in everything you do. You create flyers, you create events and whatnot. And so if you're a minister, you need to market your event. So how do you do that well? That is what Adam and I talk about today, just diversifying your marketing strategy. So I'm really excited to have him on the show today. So without any further ado, let's get in the conversation right now with Adam McLaughlin talking about how to diversify your marketing ministry to get effective results. All right, with me right now is my friend, Adam McLaughlin. How are you, Adam?
What up, Tom? Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, man, no, I got to thank you because let me tell you, I was like, who have I not had on the podcast in a little bit? I got to get people back on. So I reached out to a bunch of people and here you are. You're here.
Yeah, and at the bottom of the list was my name because I'm on the list. I'm on the podcast like every four episodes. You know, I'm like Steve Martin on Saturday Night Live.
Yes,
I kind of feel like the co-host that doesn't always show up to work.
Yes, there you go. You are quite the regular on there. I think there would be a few people that would say, "Hey, wait, I'm on more than Adam," but I'm like, Adam's on quite regularly. Because I love your opinion. I love your thoughts on these matters.
Man, I love being here. So thank you again for having me on.
Okay, so just because I got to find out, where are you and what's the temperature there?
Well, we are in Northeast Washington State.
Nice.
And it is a beautiful 74 degrees today, except in the clubhouse, which is where I'm working now so I can get my internet connection.
Yeah.
At the campground, it's about 60 degrees because I don't know why. It gets cold at night and it doesn't warm up during the day. And they don't turn on the heat because it's 74 outside. So,
yeah, right.
Anyway.
Well, dude.
But yeah, it is beautiful.
I think it was you who posted on your Facebook page fairly recently of doing the year long road trip where it would be 70 degrees all year round. I was like,
yes.
I'm so fascinated by that.
Well, I mean, we haven't made a decision that we're going to do that because you'd have to go to Alaska. And that just seems out of the way. You have to spend like, I think it's a month in July or August. You have to spend a month in Alaska in order to average 70 degrees for the whole year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a little bit out of the way.
Yes, that would definitely be a little bit out of the way. So you have to go through Canada, right? To get to Alaska, your home state, your home country.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to drive through like mountains and then you have to get to Alaska. And there's places in Alaska where, like, you can't even drive to Alaska in some places. You got to, like, fly in or you got to cruise in. You got to get on a ship. You got to take your trailer on the ship. I mean, like, you know what? Maybe I'll just put up with 74 degrees for that month. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe we could just, you know, average a median.
Yeah, right. Now, that's good. Well, I could probably talk to you about weather and your travels all day long.
But sure, let's go for it.
No, I have more pressing issues that I need to talk to you about.
Okay.
Because I think this is a really important thing because, you know, again, with marketing that churches and ministries go into, there's always the question of how much do you spend and how do you diversify your marketing? And so I think a lot of us, because we're ministers first, we're not marketers. We struggle with that. So talk to me about that. What do you think about a marketing budget and what have you seen to be effective in regards to budget wise?
Well, I think the first thing to really figure out is who is your audience and how are you going to reach those people, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could talk about, okay, like, let's say you decided you were going to put your entire budget on social media. Well, there's 100 different ways to do that as well, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. you could put all your money into Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Google AdWords or all kinds of different options. So I think the first thing to figure out is who's your audience and, you know, where are they best going to connect and, mm-hmm. and what are the ways that they're going to be most interested in connecting with you?
Yeah.
So is that an event-driven advertisement? Is that something to do with a certain interest? Is it something to do with a community project? And a lot of those things will kind of help you make decisions about how and where you're going to spend that money.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you hit on this, the fact that you can spend it in different areas. So let's talk about that for one quick second, because sure. I think the common theme I hear all the time is Facebook ads, Facebook ads, Facebook ads. But
yeah.
Facebook ads are not the only place that you can market to. Talk to me a little bit about some of the more effective places that you can market to.
Well, you know, since the disciples were selling fish off a boat, word of mouth has been the best form of advertising.
Yes.
And so, you know, as much as you could be really, really effective with Facebook ads and you could hit the right people at exactly the right moments with the information that they'd like, mm-hmm. they're actually more likely to respond if they're invited by a friend.
Well, go figure right there.
It's weird.
Yes.
And so, you know, a church is a little bit of an intimidating thing if you think about it in, you know, today's culture. Because sometimes some people view that as polarizing. Some people mm-hmm. view that as having a track record that they might not be in favor of. Some people grew up in church and have left and have predispositions towards what that could be like. But if you invite them as a friend and you say, hey, listen, let's grab breakfast and then we'll go to church, or let's grab coffee and we'll go to church, and after church, I'll take you for lunch.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they don't have to worry about things like, you know, where am I going to sit? Mm-hmm. Or how yeah. do I find my way around the building?
Yeah.
Or are people going to try and do weird things to me? Right. or are they going to try and get me to do something? They try to, you know, pay an unadmission fee, which is like you have to pay in order to leave. Yeah. So, you know, the word of mouth is still the best form of advertising. So yeah. in what ways can you equip the people in your church who already love your church, who love the culture? You know, maybe they love the event that you're putting on, or they're passionate about getting involved in the community in a way that they might want to invite somebody. What are the ways that you could equip them to do the word of mouth advertising? So, you know, Facebook ads are a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
But I would start with things like a handout that somebody could hand their neighbor,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or a poster somebody could put up in their HOA, in their community clubhouse, or, you know, at the corner store. Mm-hmm. And so I think Facebook ads are good. I don't personally agree with the amount of emphasis that's landing on them right now.
Yep.
But if you have a really great word of mouth strategy and that is absolutely killing it right now, people are bringing in people and you've got a really great guest experience. So when they actually come in the door, then, you know, they're getting treated really well and you've got a really great follow-up ratio, then you need to put new people in the top of the funnel. And that's when Facebook ads do a really great job of getting exposure to people that are kind of beyond your reach, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't start with Facebook ads.
See, that's actually really good because, again, I think when we think about ads and we think about promoting, we often just think of all the digital aspects that we can do when really simply it's word of mouth that is really, really important. And it still gets people there. I think I saw a stat years ago that said, there's a high percentage of people that if actually asked by a friend, they will go to church. And I think that's better results than any digital campaign you can do.
Yeah. So the stats on that. I did a little Easter project where we were helping some churches with their word of mouth advertising. And the stats on that is 1 in 3 people will say yes if they get invited to church. Now, that doesn't mean 1 in 3 people will show up. What that means is 1 in 3 people will say yes. So, you know, we helped some churches run a campaign where they tried to get everybody in their church to ask 3 people, because statistically that means they're going to get a yes.
Yeah.
And so the other thing we found is that if you meet somebody at a neutral location before church, the offsite location like, let's say a coffee house. So, hey, let's grab coffee and then go to church. Or if you have an evening service, you know, let's grab dinner and then we'll head out to church. If you invite them with that context, like, don't invite them for coffee and then spring on them that you want them to go to church.
Yeah,
what I'm suggesting is saying, hey, if you'd like to come to church, let's grab coffee first and then we'll head over to church.
Yeah.
That increases their likelihood of showing up by 80%.
Wow.
So that is a significant part of that strategy. So, you know, you could put, let's say you're going to put, you know, $100 into Facebook ads each week, or you could give 20 people a $5 Starbucks card and yep. tell them they can only use it if they invite their friend to Starbucks before church.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're going to get a better, it would be worth experimenting if you get a better return ratio that way.
Yeah. See, this is awesome. I'm loving this conversation because, again, I go into this wanting to talk to you about marketing and thinking all digital because that's so much of the emphasis. But yet here we are talking about just personal relationships that the likelihood of not just then you asking a friend or going to meet with a friend, but then that personal relationship, the hospitality that happens at your church, it's better than any smoke machine or any digital bumper video that you got going on. Like, that may wow some people, but it's just the personal interpersonal connections that they make that increases their likelihood of coming back.
Yeah. And there's some great digital ways to do that. So if word of mouth has been the best form of advertising for years, mm-hmm. then social media is like the gasoline to the fire, mm-hmm. right? Because you can post something and connect with 25 people in an hour that yeah. you maybe haven't seen since high school. You right. know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they might live three doors away. Right. Yeah. But you're probably not going to see as many people face to face as you get to connect with on social media. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some great options to use the word of mouth strategy in a digital context is to create images or shareable posts that are worded in a way that they face outward. And, okay. and what I mean by that is, so you give, instead of saying, hey, join us at our event this week, you could create an image that when somebody shares, it sounds like they're doing the inviting.
Hmm.
So the image could say, you know, I care about equality in our city. Mm-hmm. Would you like to join me at the forum that we're having at our church?
Hmm.
Right? So it sounds like something that somebody might text to somebody else.
Yeah.
But you put it in an image content, they can share it on their Facebook page, they can private message, they can email it, they could send a text message with it.
Yeah.
And really you're giving them the tools to say what they already want to say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these churches that we helped for Easter, we gave them like 30 or 40 pieces like this, and they got to choose which ones to send. They would send, you know, 8 or 10 to their church members, and then their church members could have 8 or 10 choices that says, you know, I'll save a seat for you at Easter if you'd like to join me.
Yeah.
And then sharing them using social media. So, you know, I'm not saying word of mouth or digital. I think digital is an incredible way
yeah.
to use word of mouth.
No, I agree with you. And I love how you're combining the two. I just think we get so fixated on one or the other. And then you are saying, no, it's both. There's a both and, you know?
Right.
And let me ask you this question, because this is something I've struggled with as a social media guy. You know, again, I'll create an image and I'll post on our church's page, hey, share this with a friend, invite a friend and share this. And so somebody will literally share that thing. And it looks so weird, like we're trying to corral everybody, get this to invite a friend. And then the people that see the image then are like, hey, oh, you're just doing this as a ploy to get me to come to church. How do you share something on social media that encourages your participants to share without people who are being invited feel like they're just a number?
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. So what I think you need to have a conversation about is, what is the purpose of social media for your church?
Yes.
And for some people, the purpose is to use it as a communications tool for their members.
Okay.
And for other people, the purpose is to use it as an outreach tool to bring people in who are not yet connected to your church. And may I propose that you can do both, but it does take some strategy.
Yeah.
So for instance, a Facebook group just for your members is where you can do the communication internally to your members.
Okay.
A Facebook page is where you can boost a post and reach people in your community who are not necessarily connected to your church. And so if you put different types of content there, you know, what you don't want to say is, hey, we're having this community event and everyone's invited. And then that person follows your Facebook page. And then 2 days later, you're like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, we're having an all church cleanup day. Don't forget it's 8:30 on Saturday morning. And this person's like, I don't even know, I barely know your church. Why would I come to an all person cleanup day?
Right.
Right. Okay. And yeah. So if you use an outward facing page and an inward facing group, I think that's a really great strategy to be able to say, hey, this is, you know, and even in the group, you could post some of those images and people can post them on their own, their own profiles and say, hey, I want to share this image to invite my friends to an event. Yeah. But like reminders or internal stuff or, you know, hey, it's pastor's birthday or whatever that case might be. That's really great. Internal stuff might be good positioning for a group. External stuff, which would be like if somebody's not connected to your church and you want to give them the opportunity to get connected, that's good content for your page.
Yeah, see, that's actually really good because I've often said a lot of times, but then that the difference between your page and your group is your focus. But it's so funny how often I will still post on our page internal stuff and I'm not thinking externally. And so this was a great reminder to me that we do. One of the other ways that you can focus on groups is not just online life groups or Bible studies, but for internal communications. I didn't even think about that, to be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, if this becomes your strategy where your page is outward focused, then use something. You can also use something like text messages internally for people in your database. You can use your email list internally for people in your database. There's all kinds of other ways to communicate what might be happening internally. And when I say internally, what I mean is people who are already connected to your church, already in love with your culture, already wanting to participate. With the flip side of that being people who are not yet connected to your church, giving them the opportunity and the incentive and the reasons why they could become connected to your church.
Yeah, this is awesome. I'm loving the merge of personal and digital and how they all both play together on this and market your ministry or your church. And again, it mobilizes people to take action, mobilizes your people in your church to take action that they can be a part of this. And these are digital tools that you can use rather than it's just all focused on you and your ministry and saying, okay, I'm going to spend $100 on this Facebook ad and let's hope that it works. We're praying that it works.
Right.
You know, you're really mobilizing people.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I guess we've kind of strayed away from the topic of where do you put your budget? But I think until we get all these pieces in place, like don't throw money at it yet.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
Like, let's get a strategy in place before we start blowing budget.
But then it's also I don't need to spend $1 million to reach people. You know, you can use the free digital tools that are often offered, create some great content that's shareable, and then get it out there. And then, oh, by the way, you can put $50 here, $50 there to a Facebook ad or an Instagram ad or heaven forbid, Twitter. Do you even go to Twitter ads?
Well, I think... I think that as a baseline point of view, just the way Facebook works, I mean, it's free to have a page and it's free to post content on a page, but it's not free to get exposure.
Right.
And so I think at least a starting point is that you're going to create an outward facing piece of content each day. And you're going to make it in a way that gives a clear call to action, gives an invite, gives people a feel of what it's like to be at your church. This might be a, you know, a story of a family who's recently come to your church or a story of a family who's been there for 40 years, right? Or it could be a clip from your pastor's message or it could be an upcoming, you know, invite to an event. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you say as a starting point, we're going to budget $150 a month and we're going to boost once a day for $5. Right.
Yeah.
Or if you say, you know, our budget's going to be $200 a month And the boosts that do really well for $5, we're going to put a little bit extra on there. You know, the ones that are getting high engagement. So yeah, I think that, you know, if you're going to be spending money in digital advertising, I think that's kind of the place to start.
Yeah, definitely. Should people be scared about spending money on Google, like in the sense of like they may not know exactly how to use it, or is Google really beneficial as well?
Okay, so the conversation, of course, I have to take this deeper, right? I can't just answer a question. Sorry, Tom. My bad.
This will be my last question for you then.
Well, you can ask as many as you'd like. You might not want me to answer anymore because I don't answer straight up. Yeah. Okay, so I think an important conversation that we have to have for our churches is a conversation about a 60-40 split that exists in our mentality. So the question is our emphasis over the next 3 to 6 months 60% getting people in the door and 40% improving their guest experience? Or is the emphasis on 60% retaining people who come through the door by improving their guest experience and 40% of the emphasis is getting new people through the door? Right. So I don't say this like a black and white thing, because I don't think we ever want to stop getting people through the door, and we never want to stop emphasizing the importance of retaining them or getting them to come back or, you know, having an incredible experience. And so that's why I use the example of the 60-40 lean.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you decide that, you know, we've got a really killer guest experience, we've got a really high retention rate, we've got a lot of people coming back for a second week, third week, then you might decide, okay, you know what we're going to do is we're going to spend money on Google getting new people in the door, right? I think one of the biggest mistakes spending money on Google is advertising your church. So this sounds terrible. This sounds weird. Good. This is going to twist a few brains. But if somebody wanted to come to your church, they're going to come.
Yeah.
So they're not Googling, should I go to your church? Yeah. Right?
Right.
They're Googling, it's midnight. I hate my job. I don't feel like going to sleep. I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling depressed because of how dead end my job is. Mm-hmm. And now tomorrow I'm going to hate my job even more because I'm going to be on 4 hours of sleep. Right. Right. And they might be Googling like jobs in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or they might be Googling, you know, what do I do when I find out my kid's doing drugs? Mm-hmm. Or they might be Googling, you know, my marriage is falling apart. Where can I get free help? Mm-hmm. Now you want to be creating content that is in line with things that people are actually Googling.
Yeah.
Right? If they're actually Googling your church, then your website should just show up and you shouldn't need to spend money there. If they're Googling churches in your area, then I mean, they're going to find the church they're looking for. And if they don't, they're going to keep looking until they find your church if they're actually looking for a church.
Yeah.
I would spend money on Google in helping create content that is based on what people are actually searching. Now, you can figure this out if you go to google.com/keyword, and it will tell you what people are actually searching in your city.
Yes, so that's great.
And then you're going to create video, you're going to create blog content, all about that stuff, and spend Google ads pointing people to your specific content on the answers of what they're looking for.
That is genius. You know, again, it's just genius. I love that. It makes total sense right there of what you just described. And I think that's really important to decipher. It's about the content you're creating that will help answer the questions. I love that idea.
Yeah. So, you know, I unfortunately I hear churches say, oh yeah, we spent $10,000 on Google last year and we didn't get anybody through the door. Because you weren't answering questions people were asking.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. So if you're going to do that, spend $10,000 somewhere else.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge, is figuring out where it's actually going to work and building around that strategy.
Yeah. This has been awesome. Adam, this is fantastic stuff. Again, As always, our conversations take a detour a little bit to where I initially think they're going to go, but it's so helpful, and it all involves the marketing stuff. And I love, again, as I've already said, the combination of digital and personal. The two go hand in hand. They're not separate. It's, you really can do both. So
right. Yeah, exactly. So,
well, I know it's hard to keep in touch with you because you're all over the world. So how, if someone's like, man, I got more questions I want to ask Adam, where can they find you?
Oh, they could track me down at adammclaughlin.net.
Nice.
Which is like the silver medal of domain names. So, second place. Adammclaughlin.net. You can find all my social media channels. You can send me a message on my contact page there. And
cool.
And I would be happy to answer any questions that somebody has or help in any way that I can.
Yeah, and occasionally you're on different websites, you're in different Facebook groups, you know, you're all over the place. So
I'm here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, but adammclaughlin.net is the perfect place to be, and I'll have that information on the show notes. So
that'd be great.
Adam, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate your time.
Cool. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Now, there you have it, my conversation with Adam. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, I think in this day and age, we all just think digital, 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 as I said in the interview. And the reality is what's so effective is word of mouth stuff. And it's just people asking people and having conversations. And so I think it's not one or the other. It's a both and. And how you do it and what you can do really depends on what your goals are and what your strategy is and what your main point is. So I really feel like what Adam said, figure out what you're trying to accomplish and then what you need to do to effectively market it. Every situation could be different. Maybe sometimes it's more word of mouth and then less digital, but maybe sometimes you put a little bit more on digital and rely less on word of mouth, which I don't understand. Well, maybe you would never do that. I don't know. So again, bottom line is it all depends on you. So I thought it was a great conversation. It definitely went in a different direction than I thought it was because I wanted to talk about all digital and money to digital. But he said, let's go back to the basics and let's do word of mouth. And so I think it's really, really good. I think it's a really good, important conversation to have for you and your ministry. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. What do you think? How have you seen effective results from your marketing and for your ministry events? What have you done? Definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to hear your thoughts on that and have the conversation continue. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. There I've got the blog, the podcast, some vlogs. I've got stuff on my Twitter ebook, as well as stuff on the Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group for all ministers, not just church communicators or social media managers, but for all ministers to learn digital tools and tips to help expand your reach and be effective in your ministry. So you can get all that at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.